And it came to pass, as Jesus sat at meat in the house, behold, many publicans and sinners came and sat down with him and his disciples. Again, when Jesus comes to sit at meat in this house, he comes to sit with publicans and sinners. Those of you that recognize who you are and what you are. Verse 11, and when the Pharisees saw it, they said unto his disciples, why eateth your master with publicans and sinners? The Pharisees being that part of you that thinks you're right. And is questioning, how dare Reuben come and feed our wrong. Or feed us what our wrong doesn't want. Doesn't he realize that the Pharisees are here as good people? No. But when Jesus heard that, he said unto them, they that be whole need not a physician, but they that are sick. Those of you that think you're right and you can figure it out for yourself and go to the Lord on yourself, you don't need a physician. Only the sick. Then Jesus explains in verse 13, which will be tonight's message, but go you and learn what that meaneth. I will have mercy and not sacrifice. In other words, God says, the only thing I want is I want to give you mercy. In other words, if you will confess what's wrong with you, I will be merciful. If you don't confess, then you offer me sacrifice. You suffer. And God says, I'm sick and tired. I don't want your sacrifice. What I want is mercy. He says, I want to have mercy on you. And that means you have to confess. You have to become aware of what's wrong, confess it, and then he'll give you mercy. Instead, you're offering him sacrifice, which is the result of you not confessing, which is the result of you not knowing what to confess, which is the result of you not having a physician, which is the result of you thinking you're whole and you don't need one. It says, for I am not come to call the righteous, but sinners to repentance. In other words, what God is saying is that in this service, when Jesus speaks, he wants it to be handled his way. And God does not want the ceremonies and the rituals of the devil to come into the church. I listened for a while to a special that was on TV the other night about devil worship and the rituals. Things like the cutting up of children and the drinking of their blood, mixing the blood and the urine of the deceased and drinking that which is mixing life and death, that's good, the blood, and that's no good, the waste, together, mixing things together, eating the heart of children, sacrificing human beings in the name of Satan. And people sitting here would say, we'd never let the rituals of the devil come into our church. You liar, you try it all the time. You see, and it's not the bizarre things, those come later. It's that subtlety, how he gets in to begin with. That's the important thing. And how does it get in? How did it get into those things? The same way it tries to get into every church, by eliminating the need of a physician. Says the whole need not a physician. And why does the devil fight God's physician in Christianity? For the same reason he fights it in all religions and in all families. Because physician means the one who's responsible for the care of the souls. That's you guys, husbands at home. Now, if you don't hold up this physician at church, then when you get home, what chance do you have? As you would that men would do unto you, do ye so even unto them. So you see, the battle is against the physician, who's the only one that God puts to stand between you and the rituals of the devil getting into your life. Now, those that will not have the physician will get a religion. And to show you that there are people in this room who are already practicing devil pagan rituals and advocate them as part of our worship, because of their religion and their ignorance and their unwillingness to accept a physician. Instead, they want to give us their religion. The things I'm going to share with you now come from a book called The Religions of the World. It's a documented historical facts about certain religions of the world. Pagan religions. Now, before we can get in, so you can understand how the devil tries to sneak into you, and then you become the Trojan horse who sits here, and then because you want me to accept you, I accept what's inside of you. You can forget that. I don't want your religion. First of all, the English word religion is derived from the Latin word religio, or religio, depending on which side of the border you're from. And since I recognize no borders, I speak it both ways. This word religio or religio refers to the fear or awe one feels in the presence of a spirit or a God. It has nothing to do with Jesus Christ necessarily. So what you fear is your God, in other words. Afraid of the dark? There's your God. Oh, I'm afraid my child's going to act up at the grocery store. Then there's your God. Whatever you, I'm not afraid. You let him go to the grocery store with me and I'll have him priced and stuff and we're earning money by the time we're through. Get some good out of that creep. But you're afraid of him or her. Now, the first thing I learned is one of the most common practices, and I'm quoting now, one of the most common practices in all the religions of the world is sacrifice. But we just read that Jesus said, I will have mercy and not sacrifice. So all of you suffering, martyred Christians are nothing more than Trojan horses trying to bring in a ritual of the devil and your religion into our services, and I'll have none of it. You see, one of the practices is human sacrifice is considered an extreme but an effective method of persuading the gods. So when you decide to talk about your sacrifice and how much you're suffering for the Lord and how the Lord hasn't yet seen it fit in his will to do anything about it, you're offering sacrifice. And the reason you're suffering is you won't confess. The reason you won't confess is you're ignorant about what's wrong with you. And the reason you're ignorant is you have no physician. And the reason you have no physician is you think you're whole. You don't need one. Now I'm going to share with you these pagan practices that have creeped into every religion of the world and is now trying to creep into Christianity. Trying, heck, it's doing it. One of the most common elements in certain pagan religions was the use of the dance as a means of contacting the spirit world. No preacher, no preaching. We'll dance up a storm. And we dance ourselves into this emotional pitch, and then we contact the spirit world. Yeah, I know you laugh when you see it in films in Africa and Indians, how that they used to do, but go to most churches and they're doing the same thing. They only lack the bonfire. They can't get in contact with God anymore by listening to the preached word. They have to work up a storm there. They have to dance up a storm. And then they're ready to feel the presence of the Lord. And they call it spiritual, and it is just wrong spirit, that's all. But what is it? They're trying to substitute something for the preacher, for the physician, for the word. They want to dance their way to heaven. Now, whatever the occasion was, whatever the revival or whatever it was they got around, it says, whatever the occasion was, the dance was usually accompanied by song, the beating of drums, and the shaking of rattles. Churches have just substituted tambourines now, that's all. But what is their attempt? Their attempt is to reach God, to make contact with God, to receive something from God. And how do they do it? They have substituted the dance, song, beating of drums, and the shaking of rattles. Those are pagan religions. But there's a lot of churches claiming the name of Christ, and they are Christians, and they are saved, and they are sincere, but the enemy has slithered in through the Trojan horses called the people. You're bringing some evil things in here for me to speak against them. Not to go to sleep so they can come out later and slit our throats in our sleep. as they did in the war, in the Trojan War. I don't want that. Now the song, these things that they did, it says the song might be made up of only a few lines, but these lines would be repeated over and over and over. Praise God. Hallelujah. Praise God. I'm not against those. But when you start substituting that for preaching and repeat it over and over and work yourself up into a lather, you are now trying to reach God on your own. Now, in these pagan religions, the effect of song and steady rhythm was hypnotic and prepared the participants for contact with the spirit world. It's an addiction, not conviction, that they're after. Something else about pagan religions. They all have something in common, visions and fasting. Now, in order to gain special power, at some point in life, some pagan religions sought visions that would put them in contact with the spirit world. Not a preacher, not a counselor, not a man of God, a vision. What's a vision? Something in your mind. It's all in your mind. Demented as it is, messed up as it is, and depressed as it is, that's where it's at. The quest for the vision was nearly always accompanied by fasting. In other words, deprive yourself of something. Ah, but Jesus said these kind come out only by prayer and fasting. Yes, he did. Now, what did Jesus mean? This kind come out by talking against them and not feeding them. Instead, you didn't feed yourself. You dummy. It says these kind come out by fasting. Listen, if I have a choice, you're going to feed them or you? God, it's so simple, isn't it? Am I this smart? Sometimes I'm very tempted to believe, just because I like you so much, I must be this smart, because how could you be this stupid? The Lord said, starve them out. That's like surrounding the fort and say, okay, the general said, starve them out. Okay, nobody eats until they come out. General Patton would turn over in his grave in this place. That is not good strategy, friends. Starve yourself until they come out? How stupid we are. Because we simply will not have a physician. See, they want to be put in contact with the spirit world through visions and fasting, when in fact we're as in contact with God Almighty as we can possibly get through a man. And the first man that did it, to be a model for the rest of us, was the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, if it was right for him to do it in human flesh, why is it wrong for me? Where did you learn that? Well, you would rather have visions and fast. But we're not done yet. In some American Indian religions, in fact, all of them, these religions are remarkably free of the priesthood. There's no priests in these religions. No priesthood. Now, the basic religious functions were performed by every member of the group. In other words, there was no priest. Whatever turned you on, everybody was equal. Everybody was the same. There was no priesthood. No point of contact for the Lord to reach, as everybody performed all the basic functions. You've been to churches now where the preacher's preaching and somebody in the back gets up and starts preaching, and then some woman over there starts screaming, and somebody over there, everybody's performing the same basic functions. The devil is stealing the priesthood away from the church of the living God. And we think that it's something new and wonderful that God is doing, and it's been around for thousands of years in pagan religions. And if you think those religions are of God, look what happens to all those people that practice these things. Some of them are still living almost in the Stone Age. And we that serve the living God, we've been to the moon already. Now, these religions without a priesthood were very personal religions that encouraged the individual to get in contact with the spirit world alone. How many of you have said that honestly? I don't want to see your hands, don't lie. But how many of you really thought, I want to get with the Lord alone? I want to contact him. I want to seek the Lord on my own. You might as well put a feather in your hat. They want to get in contact with the spirit world alone. Prayers, dances, songs, and visions were all to be done not by a specialist in the religion, but by every member of the tribe according to each person's need. Now, those are the things that are being advocated in a lot of churches right now, and by some of you believe that in this room, or I wouldn't be preaching this. You honestly believe that you can reach, and you think it's spiritual, you think it's godlike, you think it's Christlike, and it's paganism. It's slithering in, inside of you, and you're the Trojan horse, and I'm exposing you now. We're not going to have any of that. It's in your gut, inside of you. Throw it up. Now, it's interesting in these religions, they accepted one specialist, the medicine man. Now, the medicine man was the specialist function most often connected with pagan religions, and he was a specialist in healing only. In other words, they accepted one man to give them comforts for their flesh, but nothing else. Oh, yes, preacher, could you loan me some money? Sure. Could you give me some help with it? Sure. Could you do it? Sure. Now, what about that evil inside? Well, I'm going to the Lord on that. I'll get back to you. You treat me like if I was a medicine man, and I'm not. You want to exclude me from all the other functions and make me only someone that deals with your physical needs. And I'm not opposed to that, but you exclude me from everything else. You're practicing a pagan religion. And you're upset at me because God has revealed it unto me. And now I am now exposing it in you. And you can like it or lump it. But this is the way that it is. Now, a little further north among the Eskimos, there was another specialist found among Eskimos. His name was Shaman. And after he entered a trance, the spirits took possession of him and spoke through his voice. Now, this is an Eskimo religion for thousands of years before Pentecost, which we've been told that's the first time that the Holy Spirit manifested himself and people spoke, taken possession of him, and God spoke through his voice. No, no, no. Not according to history. According to history, this individual, this shaman, entered a trance. The spirits took possession and spoke through his voice. Now get this. They were also known to speak an ecstatic tongue when under control of the spirits and foretell the future. Can you see what we're being sold as a bill of goods? Very popular now, isn't it? And I'm not here to condemn that. I'm just telling you, somebody beat you to it, my Pentecostal brother. Now, can you believe that the Holy Spirit of God gave these gifts to the pagan religions first? Well, hey, the Eskimos and the American Indians have been practicing these things before the birth of Christ. Now, let's go a little bit south and east. African religions also generally do not require a priesthood. They also like medicine men. But they have something else that's akin to the shaman in the Eskimos. They call it a diviner. In our church, I call them gossiping women. It is the diviner's task to utilize magic and divine causes of present misfortune, past secrets, and things to come. Sounds to me like nothing more than a gossiping woman. See, the individual who sits down and thinks that he or she can divine causes of misfortune? Oh, I think your problem is whatever. And they don't get them out of the Word. They don't go to Genesis to the beginning and have God teach them how this came through your parents. They divine them. And isn't it funny how these diviners are always so divine? Because they always tell you divine things. That's why they're diviners. And everything that's happening to you is somebody else's fault. But when the diviner goes talk to that individual, guess what he tells him? It's her fault. Because they got to be divine to everybody. Now, they also have in African religions what they call a prophet. And this person is seen as one who speaks the words of the gods. Now, during a religious revival, here's how it happens. It's not just an individual. It isn't the person who's conducting the service. Here's how it happens. During a religious revival, now this is in an African pagan religion, during a religious revival, charismatic leaders arise and proclaim the words of God to their people. In other words, they get a bunch of people together. They work themselves into a frenzy. And then little by little, they start popping up all over, proclaiming the word of God as prophets of God. This is African pagan religion that's been practiced this way for thousands and thousands of years. And I know churches, and so do you, where people pop up all the time and proclaim the word of God and infringe upon the preacher. Oh, praise God, we never do that here. You liar. Some of you right now are thinking other things. You just don't have the guts to speak them yet. And as long as God has me in this pulpit, you won't. You can think it, but you will not speak it, because I will not allow it. All you're going to do is think it. Think it and stink it. That's all you're going to do. But see, these charismatic leaders, and because you can't do it here, you wait until you leave. And then you arise and proclaim the word of God. Practicing a pagan religion, my brother and my sister. Get off the phone and quit trying to do my job. You may think you're charismatic, and maybe you are. And maybe you are called to arise and proclaim the words of the gods to the people. But if you are, what am I doing here then? You know what you are? You're a diviner. And you're a prophet in a pagan religion. And I speak against that. I love you, brethren. I love you, sister. But I speak against that evil that's in you. If I could ever get your agreement, two of us would be agreed as touching one thing, it would be done. Now in the Roman Christian church, there was an interesting phenomenon called Montanism. In the second century, Montanus taught that the Holy Spirit, the third member of the Trinity, was not to be stifled by dogma or scripture, but was to be free to move among Christians, causing them to speak in tongues and prophesy. It lasted less than 150 years and it died out. But here's the interesting thing. It came in the middle of the second century, more than 100 years after Pentecost. Isn't it significant that the first recorded incident in history that we have of this phenomenon of speaking in unknown tongues came over 100 years after Pentecost? If in fact at the day of Pentecost it was unknown tongues that they spoke about, why'd they wait 100 years to write about it, and why did they give credit to Montanus? This is historical fact. Now, what am I trying to say here? I'm trying to say to those of you that think that when I'm speaking and preaching, God is giving you something that contradicts, you're a Montanus. How in the world could God give me something to say and then give you something that contradicts what I'm saying and claim not to be the author of confusion? You see, these things didn't last long. They cycle and then they pop up somewhere else again. Notice the Eskimos, they had their shaman. They had their, and this Rome church had their Montanus, but they're all the same thing. And they come in cycles, by the way. They come and they die out and then they come again. Now there's something that a lot of people are into and they want to bring in to what they're into. It's a practice of Hinduism. And these are the things you're going to have if you don't have a physician. The best known to the Western world of all the Hindu philosophies is yoga. You know what yoga means? The word yoga is derived from the root yuj, which means to yoke. And the main feature of yoga is meditation. And meditation means nothing else than listen to yourself. God, that's the best commercial I can have against it. If I couldn't even, I don't have to read another thing. It means listen to yourself. I'd never do that. You might as well sit there and cross your legs right now. Put a towel on your head. You only listen to you. And then you get excited and upset because I won't listen to you. Yoga Yogi. What was that guy's name in the Force? No, the one in the Star Wars. Was it Yogi, Fogi? Yoda, close. Yoda Yoga. You know what meditation really teaches? Clear your mind of all reason. We have many yogas in here, don't we? Time after time, with some of you years now, I've been trying to give you reason. And you opt for emotionalism. That's why you're practicing yoga and you're yoked to your faults. Why do you think you're addicted? Because you're practicing yoga. That's what it means to be yoked. And why do you do that? Because you practice meditation. The first thing they do is say, sit somewhere by yourself and clear your thoughts of everything external and only listen to you. Oh my God in heaven. And then we have Buddhism. And we got some Buddhists in this place. And I'm not making an argument for losing weight. I'm not talking about the way that you look. I'm talking Buddhism. Buddhism has within it a faction called Chan Zen. And it basically means the intuitive sex. Sex. S-E-C-T-S. Come on back. Don't go off on your own now. Sometimes I got to spell them for you. Now, the Chan Zen, or the intuitive sex, is a group within Buddhism that emphasizes that the truths of religion do not come through rational thought processes or through the study of scriptures, but rather through a sudden flash or insight. Sounds like menopause to me. You're suffering from hot flashes, woman. That isn't inspiration, and that isn't revelation. That's menopause. And that's bad enough with the women, but guys, where are you getting these hot flashes? And you know, the gossipers, the reporters always have a hot flash, don't they? Now I know it's silly, and we say, well, I'd never do that. Me being a Chan Zen? Yes, you are. You can hardly wait for that phone to ring because somebody might be having a hot flash on the other side. And the minute you get the hot flash, you have the desire to pass on the hot flash. It's called an intuitive sect. And they don't believe the truth comes through rational thought processes or through the study of scriptures. You can't get truth out of scripture, and you can't get truth out of rational thought processes. It has to come through hot flashes, anger, temperament, emotionalism, your traditions. You're practicing Buddhism. But because it's intuitive, it means the woman in you is solidly in control. We in the Western world call that woman's intuition. No, it's Buddhism. It's a slithering snake of the devil that embeds itself in the ladies or in the males who have too much phi in them. And then they bring it in here as a Trojan horse, and then in the name of God, they ask me to ignore it and to go along with it. No. Now, the intuitive sects have a basic principle. The basic principle behind all of the intuitive sects of Buddhism is that individuals find salvation when through an accident or through meditation, they are enlightened. Scripture is not necessary because all people must learn the real truth of religion and life for themselves. Now, be honest. When's the last time you spouted that garbage, at least in your thought processes? When's the last time you found a real reservation about coming to the man of God, to learning anything about God? You rather would do it by yourself. And not only that, but advocated that others should do that too, because after all, it's such a sign of weakness to be running to the man of God. Yes, it is, because you are weak. I tell you, that's telling the truth. But it's a sign of stupidity to go to you, because you're the one that has the problem. Now, you have two choices, weak or stupid. You know, among these intuitive sects, the real truth, or rather temples, are not important because individuals can become enlightened while sitting under a tree or sweeping a floor. How many times have I heard, God's everywhere. He's at the beach. I'm thinking of him. I'm going up to the mountains to be close to God. No, you're going up to the mountains to be close to Buddha. That is a basic principle of the Buddhist religion. Somehow or other, it's been coded and called Christianity. And you bought it. And this Buddhist sect, this intuitive sect, teaches that you can hear from God wherever you're at. That's a lie. You can hear from God in church when the man is speaking the word of God. Period. That's it. You know what you're going to get under a tree? Pigeon doo-doo. That's what you want. That's a good place to get it. According to the intuitive sects, now here again, we're talking about things that you believe and you've been taught and you try to practice here. According to the intuitive sects, reason is to be distrusted more than anything else because it cannot possibly lead people to real truth. How many times have you said, I don't want to hear that. I'm not ready for that. You're a member of the intuitive sect. You're a practicing Buddhist in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. What an abomination to God. They go on to say people must deliberately confuse reason before they can find the truth. Now, how many of you, as recently as today, said, well, I don't know what you mean. You said that and you didn't mean. They twist my words trying to confuse reason. And you see, the only way they can find the truth they're seeking is to confuse the reason they're receiving. That's an intuitive sect. You're a Buddhist. Now, the Tibetan Buddhists add a little flair here. This sect emphasizes the use of magical words or formulas as means of achieving goals. In Jesus' name, hallelujah, in Jesus' name, God. Well, that's good if you believe it. See, there's no magic in the words. It's in the faith that you have speaking them. So they had flashcards and they memorized things. And they're always spouting off these magical formulas that they don't believe. They don't practice. And is there something wrong with the words they're saying? No, that's a form of godliness. They deny the power thereof. Why? Because it comes through the man. It comes through the preacher that God gave you. Isn't it amazing when I say the words and you agree, they work. When you say them by yourself, nothing. You see, they believe that the recitation of certain phrases, names, or magical words has the effect of achieving certain ends by reaching the spirit world. Now, what have they substituted the physician? Magical words, magic formulas, and phrases. Oh, we don't need to talk to Reuben. We don't need to hear the message. Just pray. Just say some things that we find in the Bible. Well, you've been doing that all your life, and you're still a mess. Is there something wrong with the words? No. You're a Tibetan Buddhist. That's what the problem is. And you're upset because we will not allow these things into our worship. Or into the counseling either, for that matter. Now, those of you that are from the East, I've got some for you too. This is something that's extremely prevalent in this room. With Chinese religions, it is perfectly acceptable for a traditional Chinese to say that he is a Buddhist, a Taoist, and a Confucian. They try to harmonize the teachings of widely diverse religions. God loves everybody. And everybody has some truth, yes. But who has the truth? Right here. The Bible. You cannot harmonize all of these religions and make them into something that they're not. But with this Chinese pagan religions, it's perfectly acceptable. We could say, I'm a Baptist, I'm a Jehovah's Witness, and I'm an atheist. Now try to harmonize that, fool. You can't, because they're all contrary and diametrically opposed to one another. So because you cannot harmonize them in their totality, you pick little things out of each one and try to make another denomination out of three or four. You see how denominations got started? That's why we're Victory Bible Church. That's all we know, the Bible. That's all I want to know. That's all I care to know. See, they want to harmonize the teachings of widely diverse religions. That's what you try to do. You come here with your traditions and your customs and your way of doing things from your parents, and you get upset because I won't let them harmonize with the truth. I say what you know, what you've done, what you've been taught is wrong. And you want me to say, oh, your mother was such a lovely Christian woman. Yes, she was, but she was also a Tibetan monk. And a Buddhist at that. And you can rubber belly all you want. I'm not impressed. Now, these Chinese religions have another thing that is an offshoot of trying to harmonize widely diverse opinions and make one world religion. They venerate the aged members of the family. It is the aged, the grandparents, the parents who dominate the Chinese home. It is the obligation of the children to support the elderly and to obey them. So when you are introduced to Jesus Christ, who introduces you to a man that says something that doesn't agree with what your mom and dad said, the battle is on. And that battle is going on in this house, in this room, right now. And it has been going on for a long time. See, they revere their parents even after their death. So can you see that you who think that just because your mother loved you and you loved your children, you did nothing wrong. So therefore, what you're trying to do is you're trying to have your children obey you and follow in your footsteps as you followed in yours. And all your preaching and teaching is Chinese ancestor worship. But you're calling it mother love. M is for the million things she gave me. And then spent the rest of her life collecting. But see, there's even another offshoot of that. First, all the religions are right. Everybody's right. Let's not fight with anybody. You should find something good in me. Can't you ever find anything good in me? I'm not looking for any now. My job is to find the wrong. God, what would happen if the universal dumpster guy came to your home, to your apartment complex, and he's there now? And instead of taking the dumpster and going with it, he breaks into all the houses and takes the good stuff and leaves the garbage. You'd call the police on him, wouldn't he? His job is to take the garbage. Why do you want me to reverse it? That's not my job. Now, these Chinese religions, and here, guys, here's where you blow it. They practice something that's being sold to the Christian church, and wives are the biggest advocates of this. It's called the yin and the yang. And those that practice the yin and the yang usually have trouble up the yin-yang, don't they? It's no accident that that kind of phrase floats around. Let me tell you about yin and yang. The yin is seen in darkness, in coolness, in dampness, the earth, the moon, shadows, and femaleness. In other words, darkness, coolness, dampness, the earth, the moon, shadows, are female characteristics according to this. The yang was seen in lightness, brightness, warmth, dryness, the sun, and maleness. Now, here's the concept. The yin was no better than the yang, and vice versa. All nature, all humankind, were a combination of both forces. In other words, yin and yang are the same, working together. As a matter of fact, here's the concept. Yin is one wing of the dove, yang is the other wing. Now, yin and yang have to be just as strong, or the dove cannot fly to heaven. They have to be equal. They have to have the same say, the same strength, the same everything. They're both wings of the dove. Isn't that stupid? And some would say, well, I'll never accept yin and yang. That's crazy. Well, what about the Equal Rights Amendment? And you say, well, I'm on 50-50. How come I have to do the dishes and you don't? Man, you're as yin as they come. You know that? And you know what's your problem? You know why you have... Listen, guys. You couldn't have yin if you weren't yang, and that's why you got trouble up there, yin-yang. They try to make everything one. And what are they really saying there? All you need is two equal individuals in a given situation, and you got peace and harmony. You got two pit bulls is what you have. Someone has to have authority or you have anarchy. Put a bunch of people together and no one makes the final decision is war. Or yin and yang, whichever way you want to call it. See, this is the Equal Rights Amendment. Now Christians say there's no male or female in Christ. What are they saying? We got yin yang. We're all the same. And you know, some of them walk around like that, don't they? Yinging and yanging, don't they? You know the sad part about it? I know women that can't stand men who are male, who are men, but they get just as turned off at the yin-yangers, too. You just don't like men, period. So see, there's an equal rights movement in which everybody's the same. And then it comes to church and it says, everybody's the same here. Well, we don't need, why can't I go to the Lord too? Well, you want to be a yin? Which one do you want to be? Yin yang? Why don't you be both of them? I don't want to participate. You want to propose that to me? I'll let you be the yin yang, both of them. I don't want either one. I'm not going to play yin to your yang or yang to your yin. Because we're not equal. Not because one is superior. We're not equal because we're not the same. You have talents and ability and skills and a ministry I do not have, and vice versa. And I thank God for that. I do not want to have a child. Thank you. Some other things I don't want to do. But I thank God for those of you that know how and can. Because they're things I need. I just don't know how to do them. And then we gravitate to those of you that are intellectual, say, well, those are just pagan religions. Let's get intellectual for you smarties, okay? Baha'i. Baha'i. Anyone who wishes to be a philosophers of life, they're those of you that are educated way beyond your intelligence.
You're Baha'is. You believe that you can search out the truth of God without relying on the prophets.
Now, all religions teach, here's what they believe. They say, all religions, now they're going to try to meld everything together again. All religions teach the same message. All minor differences should be forgotten. When's the last time someone came to you and said, oh, that's all right. God loves you anyhow. Let's forget those minor differences. So you're dying of cocaine addiction or emphysema. Those are minor differences. Let's praise the Lord. I only have one thing to say to you. Baha'i. Now, they teach that all the messages are the same. There's only minor differences, and they should be forgotten. All nations should become one in faith, and all men as brothers, and there is equality of men and women. Ladies, you're biting the burrito on this one. You are being a tool of the devil to take away the physician in your home in your insatiable, stupid desire to have equality with him. Why would you want to be equal to someone you're superior to? God put him there to serve you. He's the one that goes out and earns the money. He's the one that gets the dirty work, and you want to be equal with that? You're dumb. God put you in a superior position. Now they teach there is equality of men and women, and women must advance in all departments of life, becoming equal or the same as men. Put them in the army, put them in the police department, put them in the garbage, put them everywhere. They have to be, not they should, they have to be equal, or we're messing up the yin-yang here. See, they have to be, see, because if one is stronger than the other, the bird's going to fly funny. And it doesn't matter which one is stronger, the bird won't fly right. So they say straighten up and fly right by everybody being equal. Now that's a stupid concept when God said she's the weaker vessel. And God said you are supposed to protect her as the weaker vessel. But no, you'd rather have yin-yang. You'd rather have some stupid concept of equality in which you recognize that when someone's speaking to you in your weakness, you give that equal strength by saying, I love you anyway. Let's yin-yang. No, 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 no. Say Baha'i to that person. It is also interesting that in this religion is taught that there must be a universal language, which means you don't need a prophet. You don't need someone to tell you what the Word of God says, because there's a universal language. Can you see through all of these things runs one thread? No physician, no preacher, no prophet, no authority. Everybody's running everywhere trying to find their own God. And incidentally, everybody succeeds in doing exactly that. You see, this isn't a game that we play. This isn't something I'm preaching because I'm trying to set myself up in some kind of an exalted position. I'm telling you what has happened to all of those nations and religions and countless billions of people that have elected to go the way you're leaning. Look at those countries. Famines, pestilence, disease. They still don't know what it's like to have a car in most of them. Only the elite. Most of them still live in mud huts with tin over them. Some of them live in houses covered with cow dung. Well, what's their problem? They have no physician. One country is teaching and preaching the Lord Jesus Christ, and they preach authority, and that's where all we feed the nations, the world.
But little by little, we're getting troubles, aren't we? And what did it all start with? Yin-yang, that's how. Equal rights. And little by little, now we're practicing the same things. Now we're saying, well, you know, under the Constitution and the Bill of Rights, we cannot celebrate Christmas anymore. We might offend some of our dear Chinese brothers or Buddhist brothers or whatever. I don't care. You go to their countries and try to do something, they'll offend you right quick. But no, in the name of God, we try to harmonize all these things and become something we're not. That's why this country's going down the tubes, because what's happening in this country is trying to happen in this church, and I'm not going for it. Because the minute I say yes to it in this church, then it's in my family. And the minute it's in my family, then it's in me. And some of you guys only get worried when it's in you, and that's too late then. Man, I'm telling you, you got to do something about it now. And if you think that you're on the path of truth, again, God has already spelled out for you what has happened to all those nations and all those countries that have believed the way you believe. They're always in slavery to something or somebody. They're always being invaded by other countries. Sometimes millions of them, Cambodia, millions of people were killed, murdered by their neighbors. Oh my God, that would never happen. Right now in this country, you can pick up a newspaper anytime you want, where one neighbor walks into the house next door and wastes 5, 6, 10, 12 people. Oh, we're not up to the millions yet, but we're working on it. This is the way they began. They have something in mind. They need not a physician. What they've done is they've accepted the lie of the devil that because God loves you, he's going to change the rules for you. And that everything he said, he's going to give you directly. And he's going to go against his own word, against his own procedure, against his own administration to accommodate you. And when God is saying, all you have to do is look at those that have done that, gauge and look at the reality. Is it working for them? But no, you still run back to your parents in some kind of method of trying to venerate them and show them that you still love what they're about. Not me. Because you're going to bring that home with you, my friend. And then you're going to let this thing into your family again. And I'll tell you what you're doing if you do that. You hate your parents. Because if you stuck to your guns, just out of love for you, they might listen to what you have to say. And then you could tell them the truth. That's how it happened to me. I don't care what you think. I don't care if you never come back here again. I'm going to tell you the truth. And because I am so lovable, and you want to love me, you won't leave. So you'll listen. And then once you do that, you've had it. Because you've got it, Ralph. Even when I'm preaching, I've got it. But see, there's a battle going on. And it's a heavy-duty war that's going on. And what it would like for me to do is agree with you and step aside and say, all right, go ahead. Just bring money. Let's build a bigger building. Bring more friends. You know the hardest thing to be in this church? It's hard to be a member if your parents go here. And it's hard to be a member if your children come here. And as I look around, we have precious few of that, don't we? Almost none. Why do you think that is? Doesn't that tell you where the battle is? It's over authority. It's over who's going to teach you what. So in the final analysis, you never did have the ability to learn anything by yourself, did you? You only have a choice between teachers, don't you? Now, you don't have to look at all the other countries and see what they're suffering. Look at your mama and daddy, and if that's what you want, go for it. But you know why you're here? Because you left what you now want to go for. That's crazy. You've had that all your life and it drove you insane. And now that you're here and you're proposing an alternative that has reason and substance and a model in whom you can see it work, you start longing for the hills of Okentuck. You came from Alabama with a banjo on your knee, didn't you? I have more of a respect, and I thank God more every day when I learn the importance of this position. Not only in the church, this is where it begins, but in every home here. And if you don't have a respect and a reverence and a praise and a gratitude for God, for the position that he's put you in, man, and what you can mean to that family, then you're going to suffer the slings and arrows of Ying Yang. And I know we joked around about it, and I try to do that so that you can see, keep your attention if nothing else. But you've got to see that you're wrong. Can't you see that? Then you ought to be able to distinguish between what's right. Because see, we have two experts here. We have an expert on what's right, and we have experts on what's wrong. Now, I believe you. You say, oh, brother, this decision is so wrong. I believe you. You're an expert on wrong. And then when I say, here's what you do, I don't know about that. See, I recognize your expertise. I don't think much of it, but I recognize it. And I believe you. Because I look at your life and I see what a mess you are. I see you as a model. Not to be followed. But I do see you as a model. And then when you tell me about your parents, I see what you're model after. And when I propose to you a change, that's when the battle starts. It's amazing how you fall in love with your pampers the minute you're ready to lose them. But as long as nobody wants them, you're upset. Nobody loves me, nobody loves me, I stink. You even say, I stink, my life stinks. Yes, you do. Let me turn the fan on, I will change. Oh, no, brother, you're messing around now. God, how stupid we are as people. But think about these religions you're trying to bring into this body of believers. And I'm going to tell you once and for all, you can forget it. In the name of Jesus Christ, I will not allow it. And because of that, the choice you're going to make is you either better dump it or you're not going to be here much longer. You will not be able to sit in this room a whole lot longer. And that's not a warning. That's a promise. Brother Duane, would you close the services in prayer?